I didn't preach at my first Mass either. It's easier that way, believe me. There's once a story, there's a taxidermy conference going on, and like any of these conferences, the hall was lined with booths, exhibits, and two taxidermists were walking through, and they were friends, and they'd comparing their work with some of the other work that they found, and they come to one exhibit and they see an owl. And they look at the owl and they, like we find most normal in our lives, right? They start to compare, they start to criticize, they start to do all of these things with the other taxidermists. These feathers are all wrong. Look at those eyes. Those eyes are terrible. They don't look real. The feet are at a funny angle. They can't support that bird. The neck is all wrong. And as they go on and they finish up their critique of this owl, they turn to leave. And as they're walking away, the owl turns his head and follows them. We can all get caught up in our own perceptions, our own prejudices, our own points of view. These are reflective of our place of birth, they're reflective of our education. And we think that we are right, and we think that others are simply wrong. A lot of times we lose that perspective to look at things as how God sees things. And that is what our reading asks of us today. The first reading, before God, all of creation, from the tiniest molecule to the furthest reaches of space, all of creation, it's a grain of sand, nothing more. And yet, God loves all of His creation. Nothing that He has made does He loathe, because if He didn't love it, He wouldn't have created it in the first place. After the first Mass, someone came up to me today and said, I still don't know why He created mosquitoes. Well, some things are a mystery that we won't know until we get to the other side. But what is the pinnacle of His creation? Mankind, made in His image and likeness. So when we see these things, we ask, why did God create? Why am I here? Why is there anything rather than nothing at all? Is everything simply a chance? Am I just a product of so many events that have occurred since the very beginning? And when I go, I will go back into the earth and I will become a part of something to come in the future? Or is there more? As Catholic Christians, we believe that there is more. We believe that there is an answer to this question, and that answer is love. That we are created in love, and we are created by love. None of us is here by chance. It's not chance that we're in Prairie du Chien. It's not chance that we're here in 2016. There's a story that has been written, that is being written. There's a story of salvation history, a story that is written by God. And just like no two raindrops, no two snowflakes are ever the same, no two human beings from the very beginning, from Adam and Eve until Christ returns, will ever be the same. And if that is our perspective, there can be only one answer to that question. That answer is love. And it is in that love. It is not us who search out God, but it is God who searches for us, inviting us into His dwelling place, into communion with Him in the Holy Trinity. Our gospel shows this from God's perspective. A few weeks ago, we had the story of the prodigal son, how the father was out looking. He was searching for his son. He didn't know if, he didn't know when he would return, but he was out every day searching, and he sees him, and he runs to him. And then when he comes home and he has a celebration for his son, the older one refuses to come in. So the father goes to him to invite him in, searching. Today, we think that it's not the Father searching for the Son. We think that it is a sinner who is climbing the tree, searching for Christ. But look closely. Who is truly seeking in this story? We have Zacchaeus. He's heard something about Jesus. We don't know what he's heard. He's probably a friend of Matthew, because Matthew is a tax collector. Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. But he hears something about him, and it stirs his curiosity. But he's just curious. He's like Herod. He doesn't want Christ in his life, but he would like to see a miracle. Who wouldn't like to see someone be cured from blindness, or someone be cured from leprosy, or the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. Who wouldn't like to see a miracle? We all want to see that. But we don't want to get too close. So Jesus comes along the path. Zacchaeus has climbed the tree because he can't see. And here Jesus stops, looks up into the tree. Zacchaeus, come down. I must dine with you. I must stay in your house. Jesus calling him by name. Something that Zacchaeus could never imagine. Wanting to come to dine. Wanting to come to stay with him. This invitation can be very close to our invitation to follow Christ. An invitation that our good deacon has now accepted in a new way. God has an invitation for every one of us. He had an invitation for me to come to serve him as a priest. My first response, like Zacchaeus, yeah, God, do that to somebody else. There's lots of good people out there. Go to them. But God is persistent. His invitation is there. His invitation continually to call, to bring us closer. His invitation to Deacon, then Dr. Mark, now Deacon Mark, to come to serve him. His invitation, we have a fourth degree night, our grand night, today at Mass. His invitation to serve him, however it may be. His invitation to serve him as holy mothers and fathers, holy spouses, to raise children, to raise families. We'll have a baptism today. His invitation to bring us into his family, to bring us into that relationship. We fall into this trap to try and see things only from our own perspective, our own presumptions. We're like the crowd walking around. We see Zacchaeus. We see this tax collector. We see this sinner. You know, for them, he'd be like a murderer or a child molester. He'd be one of the worst of the worst, cooperating with the Roman authorities. We would think that Jesus would side with the crowd on this one. We want to set up divisions. We want to set up other nationalities. We want to set up divisions on how where people work, what they do. We want to set up divisions in our life so that we can set ourselves back and we can feel really good about ourselves. But that's not what Christ does. It's not what God does. He looks not at groups. He looks at the individual. He looks at the heart. And the invitation is for the individual. He challenges our presumptions. He challenges our prejudices. And we are called to be aware of our presumptions. And to see things not as we do, but as God does. He is seeking us. God loves souls more than anything else in all of his creation. Christ loved souls. Christ loves Zacchaeus, just as he loves each and every one of us. God looks into our hearts. And when he looked into the heart of Zacchaeus, what did he see? Lord, behold, half of my possessions I give to the poor. If I have extorted anything from anyone, I will pay it back fourfold. When he looked in the end to my heart, what did he see? Laying prostrate on the floor of the cathedral, as Deacon Mark did yesterday. When he looks into Deacon Mark's heart, what does he see? Offering our lives in service. When he looks into your heart, what does he see? Love. And he invites you to offer your lives in lives of service, however it may be, to our families, to our parish, to our world. The invitation is there for every one of us. Do we see that intimate love? Do we see the one who desires to be with you, who desires to be in your heart, the one who is writing a book of love, the one who wants to be, to dine with us, to stay with us? We're challenged to see these things as God sees them, not from our perspective, but as God's perspective. Challenged to read the human story as God's story, as a story of salvation history, loving us into being, creating us, walking with us, and calling us into salvation with His Son, with the Holy Spirit. His grace can change our perspective into His perspective, not just for one group or another, but for each and every one of us as individuals, inviting us back to Him, calling us into conversion, desiring nothing more than His mercy being poured out for us so that we can become His instruments of mercy into the world that, as we know, is in very much need of that mercy.